Listen to more news from WBEZ anytime on the WBEZ app. Start each day informed. Tap and listen live or on demand. Available on iOS and Android.
I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Back in 2010, a man in Japan named Itaru Sasaki lost his cousin to cancer. To cope with the loss, he set up an old rotary phone in his garden, completely disconnected, so that he could still call and talk to him. Now, I'm of course putting air quotes around the words call and talk. Sasaki later moved the phone booth to a space where others could access it and talk with their lost loved ones. Now, this is known as a wind phone, and the concept is one that you can find here and there across the country, even if you search within our area. And now one Geneva woman, Elaine Hahn, wants to create a wind phone in her community in honor of her late son, James. At the table, we had Liam Jackowicz, who's the best friend of James Hahn, and Neil Parker, who's a programs and exhibits specialist for the Arlington Heights Memorial Library. Now, we'll also be hearing from Elaine Hahn throughout the conversation. We'll learn more about her effort in Geneva and discuss the power of grieving together. Now, I started off this conversation by asking Neil to tell us just what a wind phone is.
So a wind phone is a disconnected telephone that allows folks to have a one-way conversation with their deceased loved ones, and then the wind carries that conversation away.
That's the idea behind the name.
Correct.
I hadn't heard of it before, not before getting ready to have this conversation. When was your introduction to the concept?
It was actually about a year ago. So I'm involved in our Death Cafe programs at the library, at the Arlington Heights Memorial Library. We've been doing those for a while. I started picking those up about 3 years ago.
Death Cafe, what does that look like?
Death Cafe. Death Cafe is a group that meets to discuss death. We're not experts. There's no agenda. It's not a grief counseling group. It's just a group that meets to talk about their concerns.
Just release.
Some release, for sure. Absolutely.
And so through Death Cafe, you learned about this wind phone concept.
Actually, I learned it from a colleague who sent us an article. So we had a community read initiative for the book The Collected Regrets of Clover by Mickey Brammer. It is about a death doula. Death Cafe is a huge role in the book. And she sent us an NPR article about the wind phone, and that's how we learned about it. And we decided to make one and have it at the library.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about what that concept looks like in your space. Liam, first of all, I want to say sorry about your loss.
I mean, it's okay.
You know, James was your best friend. When did you hear about this concept of a wind phone, and how did you take that at first?
I hadn't heard of it up until a group chat started with me, Jim's mom, a bunch of other folks, and I really liked the idea. I've never heard of it before, so I didn't really know where its origins were, where it came from, but I liked the idea, and I think I was already kind of doing something similar, you know, because...
Tell me more.
When he passed, by the time we were getting past just the initial "oh my god" phase, it was getting too cold to put a stone in the ground. But I'd still find myself kind of driving out there sometimes and sitting down and just kind of talking and trying to figure out, you know, what happens next and where I go from there. So I feel like having something similar, a bit more of a formalized, like, hey, this is the actual place for that. You don't have to feel weird or awkward or like you're out of place doing it. I think that's great.
Yeah, the idea, when you said that you heard about it and you liked it, I wonder if there was this sense of, oh, yeah, maybe I could actually get my message across to Jim, as you called him.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to talk about, you know, just kind of, because it all happened really quickly, and you don't really get to have a lot of dialogue with it. It happens really overnight, so it's just kind of like, there's a lot left unsaid.
Yeah. And so yesterday, what we did was we talked with his mom, Elaine Hahn. She's the one taking the lead on this effort in Geneva. She wants to build that wind phone in honor of her late son. Here's a little bit from our conversation with Elaine.
James was an amazing kid. He was so loving and kind, and he just didn't treat anybody differently based on anything. It didn't matter how you looked or how you acted or what your pronouns were or anything. He just wanted to welcome you into his life and make you feel like you were part of his life always. James wanted to be a voice actor, so he was always working on voices at home and in his room and stuff. And then he would come downstairs and he would start talking like with a Russian accent or a Scottish accent. One of the girls in his drama class or in speech maybe posted a nice sentiment on his wall at the funeral home. They have, you know, your tribute wall. And she said that this one day she was kind of having a bad day and she walks into class and she's sitting there. And then James walks into class and he like pulls this Kermit the Frog voice out of absolutely nowhere that no one had ever heard him say before. And the whole class just erupted. And that was just his personality. He just really loved making other people feel good.
Liam, I'm watching you laugh throughout that clip of Elaine. What comes to mind when you think of your friend Jim and those voices?
I mean, I wasn't in that class with him, but hearing that, like, yeah, that's 100% on brand.
Him practicing voices, coming out with Russian accents.
All the time, midway through conversation. You're just like, oh, okay, cool. All right.
This is where we're going with things. Yeah. All right, James.
he was a big, loud, boisterous guy. I loved it.
Who was he to you? Tell me some more. Like, what was your relationship like?
We were friends since like the fifth grade. We met at like Sunset Pool. We were just swimming around the deep end. We started talking about. I honestly couldn't even remember, honestly. But no, we've just been friends since middle school, high school. Mm-hmm. We were big old nerds. We talk about Star Wars, play video games, all of that. We were in Boy Scouts together, and we were tent buddies one summer. And it was great, and we had a great time. And at the end of the week, we were like, this was so great. I'll see you at the start of the school year. We just, like, had enough for the year. Cool. Later.
Yeah. All those great memories, I'm thinking, it doesn't even matter what you were talking about in that deep end of the pool.
Not at all.
Because you far surpassed that.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think James would have thought of this idea of a wind phone?
It's kind of hard to put myself in his shoes, but I think he'd like it. He's a person that, you know, like myself, loves to talk. And I think the idea of being able to kind of talk through things instead of just kind of sitting there not really knowing what to say, that I think he'd be a fan.
Mm-hmm. You said earlier there was a lot left unsaid on your part.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking it might have been the same for him. So he'd be all over this.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Neil, let's go back to some of the work that you had done at the Arlington Heights Memorial Library, because you, of course, your team installed one. So tell us more about the process of getting that to happen.
Okay. So libraries are wonderful. I need to do a plug for libraries. Libraries are the best, and I'm surrounded by incredibly kind and creative people. And so when this hit the team, when we got the article, we just kind of ran with it. One of my colleagues in programming sort of directed things with it. She got a rotary phone from Facebook Marketplace because most of these phones typically are older style. We have a fabulous facilities crew that put together, kind of cobbled together a Franken sort of phone booth sort of thing and painted it up. And it's on display at just outside our library at the Monarch Garden that we have.
So is it a booth that you can physically step inside? And
it's not one of those. You just open the door and you can pick it up out of there.
I see.
Yep.
And then you can make your phone call.
Exactly.
Wow. And what's the response been from the community?
It's been great. You know, it's a curiosity. At first, it was sort of a curiosity. I'm lucky I have a great commute. I live just up the street. So I take my walks and I would see families walking by, little kids who have never seen a phone like this. Pick it up.
Oh, right.
But then, you know, you also see people having conversations on it too. And it's a safe space. It's a place where, you know, people can, there's so many conversations I think that we miss when we lose somebody. Mm-hmm. And it's just a nice way to provide maybe ritualize or a little calm within the chaos of grief.
Yeah, you said it's a safe space. I imagine you have to sort of create some sort of privacy when someone decides to go and use the phone.
Do you sort of make space around them? For sure. It's in a nice little place that's not too occupied.
I see.
Yep, on our grounds. So.
Have you used the Wind phone? I'm curious.
I have.
Yeah?
Yep. I lost a friend in high school. Okay. And, you know, it's sort of a weird thing to talk about, but, you know, just kind of letting them know how things are going kind of thing, yeah. You know, like what's going on in my life.
What was that like for you in the moment or afterwards even?
It was calming and it was a release, you know, because you never really, that bond is always there. That relationship isn't gone. You know, the grief is always going to stay with you. You just kind of learn to live alongside of it, I think.
Yeah, it's tough. Grief is tough. And we never quite, I don't think we ever get over a loss.
For sure.
Like
no.
That. I lost a friend last summer. And I think had I known about a concept like this, then I would have definitely taken advantage of it. I was sort of doing the, kind of like what Liam said, he was doing a version of this. I still text her.
Okay.
Or I DM her.
Yeah.
On Instagram, you know.
Yeah, no.
Knowing she can't read it.
No, but.
But it does something.
That's the unfinished business of it, you know. Death is so open-ended for those of us that are left behind with it.
Do you have advice, Neil, for Elaine and her team trying to work on getting this concept in Geneva?
I really do. I was talking to Liam a little bit about it, and it sounds like they're moving forward, but it's a slow process. Like I said, we were lucky in that, you know, we sort of have a history of this going back to the death cafes and with our reading initiative. But I think, I do really think that it's something that we, you know, the village should move on, and hopefully others out there can listen to this and help with the process as well.
Now, looking back to 2021, Liam, I know you said earlier that the loss of James or Jim, it happened so quickly. I think you told our producers that first 48 hours after he died, you said we're kind of insane.
Yeah.
Can you bring us back a little bit?
The freaky part is that we hung out the day before. Like, we went and got breakfast at the local diner. We talked for a while. It had been a busy summer. I was working a lot. He was working a lot. I would give him rides to work sometimes. And I gave him a ride home and said, I'll see you later. And then, you know, that night, my mom kind of shook me awake at, like, 2 a.m. and said, like, hey, Jim's in the hospital. And I just wake up, and I'm just like, okay, cool. Like, got it. I'm there. So I just, you know, pack a bag. I throw everything in there. I'm driving there. We luckily live like maybe 5-minute drive from the hospital. So
right.
I'm just calling my boss, leaving a voicemail being like, you're not going to see me till this is figured out. Sorry. When I get there, nobody really knows what's going on. Something's wrong. And at this point, it's kind of like, you got to take your hands off, let the doctors do what they do. And I started calling everybody. You know,
yeah.
It's 2 a.m. So obviously a lot of people are asleep, but it's just like, hey, Jim's sick. Get down here.
You might want to get down here.
I don't know what's going on. Just get your ass down here. Yeah. And then this was during COVID, so it was very difficult for visitation and all that.
Yeah.
But I would just kind of hang out in the lobby and sleep on like those double wide chairs and just wait and hope, you know.
Yeah. We talked with Elaine about this too. She told us about those hours leading up to losing him.
Yeah.
She recalled coming back from work and playing video games with him, and then a couple hours later, he was gone. Let's listen.
The grief that I faced after losing Jim, the first month I was just down. I was just down for the first month. I couldn't even tell you. I'm sure I ate. I'm sure I drank. I'm sure I went places, but a lot of that I don't remember. A lot of that. I was just in his room, on his bed, trying to make a connection with him. So I would lie in his bed and look around his room so I could see the things that he also saw when he was in his room and try to make a connection that way. And I had a really hard time confronting the fact that he was gone. I would sit on the sofa and I would look at the front door and I'd be like, oh, Jim's just at his friend's house and he's just going to walk in the front door like any minute now, which of course never happened. So when I heard about this wind phone idea, I'm like, this could help me so much, and it could help so many other people also who are the same. We just bury our feelings and move on. Those feelings are going to come back. They're going to rear their ugly head at some point. You can't just forget about it. You have to face it. Like, a lot of people are still on eggshells around me because they don't want to talk about it because they're afraid that they're going to upset me in some way. And sometimes like this, we're having a conversation and I remember something about James and I do get emotional, but you know, you're going to get emotional when you are talking about someone who is very near and dear to you and they're not here anymore.
Yeah. Leave us with this, Liam. What are your hopes for this wind phone project in Geneva?
I think that something like this is going to be great for kind of starting that conversation, even though it's only one-sided, you know. When everything happened and there was a funeral and all of that, not a lot of people, even people that he knew, really knew what to say.
Yeah.
We all showed up and we're just kind of like, okay, we're here now. All right, bye. And it's just like, it's very easy to be angry at people for not saying, you know, something, but
yeah.
I think the first step to really kind of moving forward is just being able to talk to it, you know. So,
Neil, your hopes for the wind phone in Arlington Heights?
I hope it continues to be a significant part of our community and provides an outlet so that people don't feel isolated. I think that when we deal with grief, there's an isolation that can overwhelm us. And I think that we grieve because we've loved so deeply. And I do hope that this provides an outlet, some comfort, some place to remind us that we're not alone and somebody that we love is just a telephone call away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Elaine says she wants for folks, you know, once this gets installed in Geneva, to look at it as a tool, a great tool that is up there in the community and that folks can come up and take advantage of. Now, if you're listening and you're interested in supporting Elaine and Liam in building that wind phone in Geneva, you can reach out to jthmemorial@gmail.com. We've been talking with Liam Jackowitz, who's best friend of James Hahn and a member of that effort in Geneva, and Neil Parker, who's at Arlington Heights Memorial Library. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Micah Yasin. It was edited by Meha Ahmed. For more conversations like this, consider subscribing to the Reset Podcast wherever you listen. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll meet again soon.